we're going to have to rebuild within this wild, wild west of information flow some sort of curating function.
It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve.
We've got to maybe do something with the internet.
Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Somebody will say, oh, freedom of speech, freedom of speech. These are foolish people.
Australia considering mandatory coronavirus app tracking. The Canadian government ponders new laws to fight pandemic misinformation. Jesse Hirsch looks at social credit post-pandemic scoring. And my book, Unassailable, is now free for everyone. Tell all your friends. This is Access of Easy, episode 142. Hello, everybody. Welcome to another edition of the Access of Easy Weekly Digest. This is Mark Jeftovic, and we are broadcasting on April 21st, 2020. It's episode 142. We are now up and running on accessofeasy.com, so check us out there. And we are also available now on Stitcher and Spotify and iTunes. So please subscribe to us out there if that's your preferred podcast platform. And if that is the case, then please leave us a review on those platforms because that's really going to help us get the word out. All right. Let's do the quotes. Last week's quote was, "It takes something more than intelligence to act intelligently." That was Fyodor Dostoevsky. And the winner was James R. He emailed me the answer because there is some confusion as to where the blog was last week, where to actually post this thing. And to that point, the blog this week is at accessofeasy.com/142. First person to post the correct answer to this week's quote, which I haven't told you what it is yet, we'll get their next hosting renewal or web hosting renewal on us. So this week's quote is, "To sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men." Remember, you can't search it up. You just have to know it. Anyway, so let's get right down to it. Australia considering mandatory coronavirus app tracking. So we reported last week that various governments were creating their own coronavirus mobile app trackers, and Australia is following suit, and this is to measure the propagation of the virus and to observe compliance with new social distancing rules. So the Aussie PM Scott Morrison told news outlets that downloading the new app is going to be voluntary, or you'll have to voluntarily download it, but if 40% of Australians don't download it, then it becomes mandatory, which in my mind means it's not voluntary at all. He also said that data gathered by the app would not be used to gather evidence or prosecute citizens for not observing social distancing rules. That kind of brought to mind a quote I was going to use for this week's quote contest. It is the famous "never believe anything until the government officially denies it" quote. It's usually attributed to Otto von Bismarck or Hindenburg, but when I researched the quote a little more, it looked like that's possibly apocryphal, and one variation or another of that sentiment has been part of public wisdom for centuries. In other words, when the government says something isn't going to happen, get ready for it to happen. You know, I also meant last week when I was talking about these apps to include Jesse Hirsch's MetaViews article called "The Impending Disaster of App-Based Contact Tracing." And I forgot, but, you know, it's just as relevant this week, so we link to it in the show notes page. Governments roll out systems to report quarantine breakers. So the next phase for governments who want to clamp down on people around this, are they setting up reporting mechanisms for people to report anybody who isn't following quarantine and social distancing rules. So a few data points here. There's a new system in the UK. The City of Toronto has rolled out their own reporting system. In Nova Scotia, they urge their citizens to call the police. The New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio urge New Yorkers who see people breaking quarantine rules to, quote, snap a photo of an offending person or crowd, set the location on the image, and text it to 311-692, end quote. And then, quote again, action will ensue. And not directly related to reporting mechanisms, but the state of Kentucky ordered quarantine breakers to wear ankle monitoring bracelets. So I'm sure there's going to be numerous additions to the list, and we'll watch that as it plays out. The Canadian government ponders new laws to fight pandemic misinformation. So pandemic misinformation and conspiracy theory are the new bogeymen that is justifying further, you know, government and mainstream media crackdowns. It brings back the Canadian Broadband and Telecom Legislative Review, the BTLR, from before all this started. It seems to be gaining a new lease on life, and they reflect the federal government's desire to control the discourse around coronavirus and probably everything else. So via the CBC, quote, the federal government is considering introducing legislation to make it an offense to knowingly spread misinformation that could harm people, says Privy Council President Dominic LeBlanc, end quote. So, you know, this is where things really come to a head. You shut down the economy, you put countless people out of work, countless businesses out of business, and then you clamp down on anybody who disagrees with it by calling it misinformation. I wrote a standalone article about it called, you know, What's the Difference Between Fake News and Hypernormalization? That's up on the website. Check the show notes. And don't forget, if you haven't already signed our petition into the Canadian House of Commons to shut down the BTLR, there's still time to do it. It is open until, I think, June 5th. So go to the show notes, get onto the page to go to the petition and add your name to that. We're trying to get the federal government to reject the recommendations in the BTLR because they're all, you know, a pile of steaming crap. CBC teaches you how to neutralize your silly parents' conspiracy theories. So I found this little vignette from the CBC in my Twitter feed. Teaches you how to, you know, it's a really condescending tone on how to deal with your dopey parents who drop ridiculous misinformation, in air quotes, into family group chats. It cautions against telling your out-of-touch dad, for example, how idiotic he's being, because then he'll just double down. Instead, hit him with some empathy. Tell him, you're right, Dad, these are scary times, but we're all in this together. And finally, send them some links to credible sources like the CBC and established scientists. I couldn't find the original piece on the national website, but I did link to the tweet in the show notes. Amazon cuts affiliate revenues amid global economic depression. We might as well call this for what it is. It's an economic depression. But one of the few companies actually experiencing a boom right now is Amazon. And since it is tough all over, people are scrambling to learn how to code or somehow otherwise eke out a living online. Amazon is doing their bit by cutting affiliate revenue shares by up to 80% across certain categories. So the furniture and home improvement products will drop from 8% commission to 3%. And the commission for groceries and food products will go from 5% to 1%. And, you know, I just started calling Amazon the company store a long time ago. And in the show notes, I linked to the, if anyone remembers the Art Bergman song, We're All Whores for the Company Store. Got me playing that in my head, so I linked to it on YouTube. Give it a listen. It's a good song. Business is booming for Surveillance Corp Palantir as revenues exceed $1 billion. So surveillance also very bullish right now. We reported a few weeks ago that Peter Thiel's Palantir was diving into the coronavirus tracking and monitoring business. We introed Palantir back in Axis of Easy 46. Quote, Palantir markets its services to governments and corporations like JP Morgan to conduct pervasive surveillance from vacuuming up emails, GPS locations from corporate smartphones, and transcripts of phone calls. Palantir uses everything it can get its hands on. So things are looking up for these guys. Their revenues are on track to exceed $1 billion this year, which is up 35% from last year. Isn't that nice? The sale of .org, the .org TLD, has been stalled pending inquiries by the California Attorney General. So the Internet Society entered into that deal to sell the .org TLD to a private equity firm called Ethos Capital, and the sale is contingent on ICANN approval, which was supposed to render their decision on April 17th. Xavier Becerra, California's AG, sent a letter to ICANN saying that because they're a nonprofit and a nonprofit trust, it comes under his jurisdiction, and he requested various documents about the proposed transaction. And ICANN pushed the decision out so far to May 4th, and hat tip out to Richard Parrott on Twitter, who brought this one to my attention. George Kiriko says the ICANN PDP for rights protection mechanisms has been captured by intellectual property interests. So George Kiriko is a domain policy expert. He's based here in Toronto. He really knows his stuff. He actually was the proofreader on my first book on all of the domain policy sections, because the guy is like an encyclopedia. And he's been trying to sound the alarm on a seemingly obscure policy initiative within ICANN that could have far-reaching implications. It's called the Rights Protection Mechanism, RPM, which is currently in PDP phase, which is policy development process. And we touched on this in an earlier issue of Axis of Easy when we covered how George had actually been ejected from the working group, ostensibly for using a bad word, which was wish list, in a, I don't know, offensive fashion. So they booted him, but realistically, it was probably because he was being too meddlesome to the intellectual property interests who are dominating the discussion. So George sent me a few emails this week. He's written up some blog posts because he says the emerging policy that's coming out of this looks pretty draconian. Things like you could lose an entire domain portfolio if you lose two URS decisions, domain dispute decisions. They could take away all of your domains, even the domains that don't infringe on any trademark or couldn't be construed to infringe on any trademark whatsoever. So this is a big deal, especially if you're a domain investor or just somebody who's interested in, you know, a fair shake for dispute mechanisms, because, you know, you may not notice it if you're not immersed in this business the way I am, but things like reverse hijackings happen all the time. People try it, submarine trademarks, all sorts of shenanigans to try and get a nice juicy domain name away from somebody. So I should be paying closer attention to this PDP because to be honest, I haven't been. High severity unpatched WordPress widget plugin. So this is via WordFence. If you're running a WordPress site, you should just subscribe to the WordFence newsletter alerts, even if you're not using WordFence. I mean, on EasyPress, we use BlogVault, which also has its own web application firewall, but WordFence is really good. They really, you know, stay on top of this stuff. So anyway, they sent out an alert. They were the ones who discovered the vulnerability. In fact, the WordPress plugin, Widget Settings Importer Exporter, enables an attacker with minimal permissions to compromise a site by importing widgets with embedded JavaScript. So it doesn't properly sanitize input, and it appears to be no longer maintained. The developers did not respond to the WordFence bug report. They've not issued a fix. So WordPress itself has removed the plugin from the repository. But if you have it on your site, you got to turn that off right now. And if you're using EasyPress, our managed WordPress hosting platform, then you don't have to worry about it because we already took care of that for you. Vice takes a bow for getting protesters deplatformed from Facebook. So the American Revolution 2 Facebook page, who was a group organizing protests and online dissent against the lockdowns, has been removed by Facebook after an article by Vice. And this is part of a larger initiative within Facebook to contain, quote, misinformation. In addition to deplatforming pages like this, they're steering people towards the World Health Organization news sources for coronavirus material. And, you know, the World Health Organization are the same people who refused to declare COVID-19 a pandemic until about 2 months after everybody else knew we had a serious problem. And the World Health Organization has been I don't know how else to say other than complicit in helping China cover up the full extent of the problem when it was originating. So those guys, they have the lock on objective truth, according to Facebook, and people who are going orthogonal to that get deplatformed. So, you know, I understand it's important to stop the spread of coronavirus. I'm not saying that, you know, people should just go on about their business, but I still think the place to deal with real world actions is out in the real world. If somebody breaks quarantine and organizes something to break quarantine, then you deal with those people in the real world. But what people say online, they should be able to peaceably dissent online. And there's this coordinated movement towards marginalizing non-conforming speech that's setting a really bad precedent. Keep this in mind, okay? The economy is shut down, effectively by decree. Countless millions of people have lost their jobs. Countless businesses have folded. So now we're going to make it so that people can't voice their grievances online. We're going to call them COVIDiots. I mean, if you want to foment a pressure cooker of social unrest, I'd say that's a pretty good way to get it started. I wrote this up at length in another article called What's the Difference Between Fake News and Hypernormalization? And that's also up on the Axis of Easy website. Jesse Hirsch, along the same line, ponders social credit post-pandemic scoring. So where is all this going? It's going to follow China's lead no matter where it takes us. And that means as part of the policy response to coronavirus, he thinks we're all going to end up with social credit scores that factor in metrics ranging from your vaccination and immunity status to whether you belong to any of those Facebook groups that have been making trouble. I think he's right. And the most important point Jesse makes in this article, well, one of them, is that this is not a health crisis as much as it is a political and economic crisis brought on by the failure and rot within the system itself. So this was already starting to unravel long before coronavirus hit, and I think governments of the world knew it. This is just the catalyst, and that is why it's coming unglued so rapidly, and that's why governments are so vehemently dead set on controlling the narrative and using this as an opportunity to control the population more than they already did. This is hyper-normalization, where you're sort of pretending everything is fine when everybody really knows that under the hood, everything is not fine. All of this prompted me to decide to release my book, Unassailable, you know, how to defend against deplatform attacks and cancel culture. The ebook version is now free. Okay, so it's up on the Axis of Easy website. You just click through and you get to a book funnel page and you can get, you know, whatever you want, Kindle version, PDF, Mobi. You can just download this book for free now and you can pick up the techniques. It's a manual for how to defend your content and your online opinion against deplatform attacks and cancel culture. If you don't want to read the book yourself, help get the word out. Tell all your friends about it. That's really going to help, okay? And if you haven't already, check out the new Axis of Easy website at axisofeasy.com. It's not just me sitting in the basement shouting at clouds. We've got Charles Hugh Smith from Of Two Minds. He's like cranking out great articles every day, at least once a day, and they show up in the Axis of Easy feed. Jesse Hirsch, MetaViews, he's also putting out articles Monday through Friday. And then Jesse and Charles and I are doing podcasts together. And we had a really great one last week and technical problems set in. We only got one side of the sound. It was kind of a heartbreaker. Really good episode. We're going to try again this Thursday. So subscribe to the podcast feed, Stitcher, Spotify, iTunes. And watch out for the podcast. In addition to this one every week, we're going to be putting out some with myself and Jesse and Charles. It'll be really great. Show notes for this episode at accessofeasy.com/142. And continue to stay safe and stay sane. And we'll talk to you next week.